this is Brennan from Weedus, and you're listening to Rewind Podcast.
Hi, and welcome to the Rewind Podcast. I'm your host, Richard. This is show number 2 for March 2010. Before we start, I'd just like to say a big thank you to everyone who downloaded the first show. I really appreciate it. And if you can, head over to iTunes and leave a comment and tell me what you thought. Or, if you want, you can send me an email with your comments, good or bad, or any suggestions about the show to rewindpodcast@googlemail.com. Now, what's on today's show? Well, I'll be speaking to singer-songwriter Martin Osterwick from The Sound of the Ladies and the host of the hit podcast Answer Me This. He'll be talking about music, science and PS3s. We'll also have music from Aidan Schofield, Freddie and the Razorbacks, as well as Rewind's Guide to Becoming a Rockstar, and a chance for you to win a limited edition Marshall amp. Yep, that's right, we've got a competition prize. But first, a band who I'm really excited about introducing and who blew me away with the song we're about to play. They're unsigned and they're called The Black Doves. They're a five-piece rock pop band from San Antonio, Texas, and I'm hoping that Steve from the band will win the show soon. The band consists of the aforementioned Steve Wilson, who writes the songs, is on vocals and guitars, Brett Matthews on drums, Danny Trevino on lead guitar, and Frank Rodriguez on bass, and Bruce Phillips on keyboards. Now, they have a great album out just now called Moment of Clarity, which you can get from their site, www.theblackdoves.com, and you can find out more about them and their music over there as well. Now, I honestly can't say enough good things about this band. They're absolutely amazing, but why don't you decide for yourself? So no matter where you are just now, whether you're sitting in a bus, riding in a train, jogging through the park, or even getting bored at work, stand up straight, strap on your air guitar and get ready, because this is the Black Doves with their song, Ask Me To.
Doesn't always go as planned. I'm far from perfect in how just ask me to.
Okay, let's try and keep this going. And this next band can certainly do that. They're called the Razorbacks. They're a four-piece, high-octane rock band from the Midlands in England, consisting of Lee Bucknell on vocals and guitars, Louis Bowen on drums, James Kitchen on bass, and Jack Perry on guitar. Now, these guys have just released a debut album called Something to Believe In, which can be bought from the site www.therazorbacks.co.uk. That's spelled R-A-Z-O-R-B-A-X. This band is going to be huge, there's no doubt about it. Their songs are short, sharp, catchy, and come at you so hard you wonder what's hit you. This is definitely music to go nuts to. So turn it all the way up to 11, because this is the Razorbacks with their song, Picture on My Wall. It's now time for Rewind's Guide to Becoming a Rockstar. On the last show, we covered step one in the guide, which was forming a band. This week, it's step two, finding somewhere to practice. Now, all bands need somewhere to practice, that's a given. And before you even start looking, there's a few things you have to consider. Number one, space. How much space do you really need to play comfortably? For instance, could you all fit into a garage without having to play between a car and a washing machine, or having to sit on each other's knees? Or you think you need somewhere bigger? Number two, sound. And I don't mean acoustics. I mean, how loud are you going to be? Will you be playing unplugged? Or will you have a full drum kit and amps turned up to 11? And finally, number three, money. What can you afford? Now, for argument's sake, let's just say you're a five-piece band and you've already practiced in your bedroom, moved on to the garage, and are now looking for somewhere bigger and better to practice. So, where do you look? My first suggestion would be to contact your local council, as they have many properties like community centres, town halls and the like that can be used for practice sessions. These places are great as they're usually very large, cheap and can make as much noise as you want. Next would be church halls. Now these places, whether you're religious or not, are great places to practice. They're big, they have great acoustics and churches usually only take the donation for the use of the services. None of that's suitable, why don't you talk to your local pub or bar or workman's club about using their establishment for practice? Now, I did this when I was in a band, and every Sunday afternoon we would go down to the local workman's club, usually quiet, no one bothered us, and we got to play on the stage. We paid the club a small amount of money and could practice there the whole day long, so that is a really good idea. Another good idea would to practice in a barn. A lot of bands actually do this, before you start laughing. Farmers would usually take a small fee, and in return you get a huge practice area, you get great acoustics, and you can turn your amps all the way up to 11 as only the cows will hear you. Finally, the best practice area of all, if you can afford it, because it can be quite expensive, would be to use a proper rehearsal or recording studio. Now these places are designed solely for bands and artists. They have proper equipment, perfect acoustics, and usually there's someone on hand to help you technically. So if you can afford this, you really should do it. Well, I hope that helped a bit, and if any of you guys think of any other places that would be great for a band to practice, then please email me at rewindpodcast@googlemail.com. Next show, we'll be talking about picking a name. This next artist is called Freddie. He's a singer-songwriter from Alberta, Canada, and he's been writing songs since the age of 12, which is quite frankly amazing. You can find out more about him at www.freddienet.com. Now, his influences range from the Beatles to Elton John to Marvin Gaye to Oasis, with a little bit of country and Britpop thrown in for good measure. Now, it's really hard to pigeonhole his music. All I will say is that it's unique, fresh, and amazing. Freddie is set to be massive, which leads me nicely to a song we're about to play. It's from his album Double Speak, and it's called, you've guessed it, Massive. Now this song has been chosen as one of five to be eligible for the CMT Listener's Choice Awards as part of the 8th Annual Song Contest. So if you like this song, go to www.nsai.cmt.com and vote for Freddie. Here's a track, Massive.
There's no use to argue about it, 'cause there won't be peace till we all agree that we're surrounded by multiple forces from multiple sources, not just gravity. I can't help but think that there's something to it, 'cause I'm drawn to you the way you're drawn. Like a black hole, I've fallen deep inside of you. nothing we can do. 'Cause we are massive, and maybe that's the truth.
Now, the very nice people over at Marshall Amps have kindly given the show a limited edition Marshall MG15CDS to give away as a competition prize. Now, unfortunately, this competition is only open to UK residents, but don't worry, we'll soon have more competition prizes and shows to come that will be open to everybody worldwide. Now, this is a great little amp, and to have a chance of winning it, just answer this simple question. In which year did Marshall Amplification begin? Why not head over to www.marshallamps.com, where you may find out a little bit of information to help you out. And you send your answers to rewindpodcast@googlemail.com. And all entries should be in by the 9th of April. And the winner will be announced in show 3 on the 12th of April. And the best of luck. Our next talented artist is called Aidan Schofield. He's a singer-songwriter from Cleveland, Ohio. And his music is not unlike the sound of the Beatles, which, as a fan myself, are big shoes to fill. But he does it well. Now, I could list all the things Aidan has done in his musical career, but it would take too long. Let's just say this guy has done a lot. You can find out for yourself by heading over to www.aidanschofield.com. Now, here's just a taste of his music. This is a great song. It's called One, and it's from the album Damage.
A funny thing happened to me one day, when everything seemed to go the wrong way, and all I really wanted was a change. When nothing really seemed to go right, the days keep turning as black as night. I try to go on, but I'm losing the fight. But then she came into my life. You call it luck, I call it fate. Either way, it's alright. But then she came into my world. We fell in love, we couldn't wait. Beside you, stop time, immortalize you. Don't need for anything, I've already won. And I will forget about all the times I've gone without. We'll be together till our time here is done. One. Feels this right? I'm falling in love from a dangerous height. And when I land, you'll be by my side. On this ride, we'll never slow down. We'll turn it on, we'll shake it up in the here and now. And every day we're closer in time. I say it's black, you say it's white. I don't care, you don't mind. As I stay here beside you, stop time, immortalize you. Don't need for anything, I've already won. And I will forget about all the times I've gone without. We'll be together till our time here is done. This time while I feel alive and I'm learning to fly, it's a brand new day. Flat line, 'cause my heart is jumping over the moon through the Milky Way. Time immortalize you. Don't need for anything, I've already won. And I will forget about all the times I've gone without. We'll be together till our time here is done. This time I know I feel alive. I won't let the moment pass me by. I wanna stop to tell you how.
inside you. Stop time, immortalize you. Don't need for anything, I've already won.
Now it's time for this week's interview. And today we're talking to the Sound of the Ladies singer-songwriter and one third of the hit comedy podcast Answer Me This, Martin Austwick. Now let me just read a paragraph from his bio on his website www.thesoundoftheladies.com to give you an idea of what Martin's about. Now The Sound of the Ladies is the work of Martin Austwick, singer-songwriter, sometime producer and quantum physicist. The Sound of the Ladies have recorded 4 EPs, Live in Gypsy Hill, Scrape the Paint, Rosebud, Tissue of Lies and the science-themed Some Songs About Space. Yes, you heard right, Martin is not only a producer, singer-songwriter, successful podcast host, but also a quantum physicist. And you'd be right to think this is like something from a superhero story. And you'd be half right, as Martin's newest EP is out of this world, literally. It's called Songs About Space, which is the first part of a volume he is working on called Sing Songs About Science and Knowledge. Now this music is a style you've probably never heard before, but once you've heard it, you'll love it and you'll be wanting more, so you really should go and check it out. It's amazing stuff. At the end of the interview, I'm going to play a track from Songs About Space called The Grand Tour, which is a cleverly written, amazing song, and truth be told, is one of my favourites from the EP. The Sound of the Ladies also has a podcast on iTunes where you can get access to listen to new material and be kept up to date with what's going on. Just type in The Sound of the Ladies into the iTunes search bar. Now, if you want to find out any more information about Martin, The Sound of the Ladies, or the Answer Me This podcast, then head over to www.therewindpodcast.com to find out more. Here we go. Hi, and welcome to the show, The Sound of the Ladies. So, who is The Sound of the Ladies? Who am I speaking to?
My name's Martin Austwick, and The Ladies. The moment Sound of the Ladies is just me and a guitar singing.
Some very good songs, I must say as well.
Oh, thanks very much.
So, is there any plans for you to do any other members in the band, or are you just happy doing solo project?
I would quite like to get some band members involved. It's sort of practicalities, you know, like I like the flexibility you have. You have to get a band to get into a lot of kind of getting drummers together and making sure there's a rehearsal space, and you know, I just like kind of playing some guitar and I can't
sure.
Hang them. So. It gets a lot harder if you've got a band. But there's some stuff I've been writing recently I really need a band to play it well live.
I must admit, talking about drummers there, I used to be in bands when I was younger, and drummers are the worst. No offence to drummers out there, I'm sure you're not all the same, but drummers are the worst people to turn up to practice.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. I mean, drummers have got like a reputation of being the hardest drinking.
Yeah.
Members of the band, haven't they, as well? But even on like a little level, when you're in a little school band, it's really hard to come by drummers. But when you do find a drummer, you know, he will play with you.
I think it's the fact everyone wants to play guitar.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can find guitar players really easily. Guitar players and bass players.
And singers.
Singers, well, yeah, there's quite a few singers around. But yeah, drummers. Drummers are the gold dust, aren't they?
Yep.
But when you do find a drummer, even if they have got major personality problems, you have to kind of go, well, they're a drummer.
True. This is, I think it's hitting the drums and being close to the sound that affects your brain a little bit when you're a drummer. You have to be a little bit unbalanced, I think, to be a drummer.
Like shell shock, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose that is.
The whole time, yeah.
So I was actually just listening to your new sort of album you got out there, the Songs About Science and Knowledge, Volume 1, Songs About Space. Now, this is quite interesting. It seems to be a different approach to songwriting you've got here.
Yeah, it's a different sort of idea. It's writing songs about science, and I mean, I've got songs about maths and science, and even like the invention of the printing press, kind of historical things as well.
Okay. So, I was hoping at the end of this show we could play one of the tracks, The Grand Tour. What's that song about?
Right. It's about the Voyager probe. I think it's the Voyager 2 probe, which was launched in the 70s. And it kind of, the idea was it was going to visit all the planets, pretty much all of the outer planets in the solar system. So it went to Jupiter, they went to Saturn, and then they decided to sort of divert it. So it didn't go to Uranus and Neptune and Pluto. And then at the moment, it's kind of leaving the solar system. It's just at the edge of the solar system where the solar wind from the sun is stopping, and it's going to kind of go into the interstellar space. So I think they said that it's just about to do that, I think. In the next sort of 10 years, it'll actually pass beyond the solar system. story is told from the point of view of the probe, it's the first person. It's like the robot voice of the probe, if you like. So yeah, it was a lot of fun to write.
Yeah, it's unusual, but it's a really, really good song. As I said, we'll pop it on to the end of this interview for the listeners to sort of listen to and give their feedback on.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
So you were saying before, you sort of write these type of songs because you're in that field of science. Do you want to expand on that a bit?
Yeah, so I mean, I've been a physicist as long as I've been a musician. So I did a physics degree and a PhD, and at the moment I'm working in a sort of physics field. And, you know, all the time I've been writing music, writing songs and writing jingles and things like that for the podcast. And so I just thought it'd be nice to try and put the two together. I'd never really tried that before. You know, it's just a bit of fun, really. It started off just as an experiment, if excuse the pun. just to see what happens, just to see whether I could do like a good song in that sort of very technical style, I suppose.
Sure.
And I think it does kind of work, you know. It's... if you're expecting it to be sort of a love song, you'll be disappointed, but it is, you know, it's fun. I was quite pleased with the way some of the stuff I just came out.
No, it definitely works. It's just, I actually like the fact that it's different. Like, nobody really sings songs about space probes and planets, and, you know, it's...
Well, there's a few people out there who do that, to varying degrees of success. Like, I mean, you get a band like the Decemberists,
right,
who write this sort of historical... like almost like kind of Civil War fiction. There's other people like that. Like, I think people like Joanna Newsom, they do a lot of like very kind of historical stuff. And then, as I say, there are some people who do write about science, like Jonathan Coulton. But I think it's like the way the music industry is now, trying to find something which you do that other people don't do, trying to find something which is original and, uh-huh, and distinctive is really important, because there are... And there are a lot of indie bands out there, you know. If there's something that you've got that's a bit different, that you would do that's a bit more fresh, you know, maybe people will listen to you.
True. I think the problem with a lot of indie bands out there, though, as well, is that they tend to sound the same, even though they're meant to be independent, you know. It's...
Yeah, I think that comes with... You know, I'm going to say this because I'm a bit older, but I think that comes with experience. I think when you start off, you just end up copying people that you like.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when I started off, I wanted to play... you know, play like Radiohead and sing like Jeff Buckley. And as I got a bit older, I started to think of my own ideas. And I think when you've been in most bands, if you're, not everyone, but most, if you're 18 and you're in a band, you know, you're not going to have had time to totally assimilate all your influences and do something really original. And there are exceptions. There's some really good, you know, like the Arctic Monkeys, who do something really original and they're very, very young. But most of the time, you're still learning, really.
It's true, yeah. It takes them a couple of, you know, albums in to actually find their feet.
Yeah, exactly. It takes most people a few albums to warm up, doesn't it?
So, talking about music, what kind of stuff do you listen to?
Well, I started off listening to a lot of grunge and stuff. When I started listening to music in the 90s, it was that kind of period. And as I've got older, I've tended to listen to sort of more folky and singer-songwriter stuff, because that's more become what I do.
Sure.
As a writer. And so, I'm a big fan of them Ward stuff. He's a kind of Portland singer-songwriter. He has a kind of... American folk influence in his music.
Uh-huh.
And I always come back to people like Tom Waits and yeah, people like Radiohead, to be honest, because Tom York's an incredible singer, I'd say.
The only problem with Radiohead, I do like some of the tracks, but I find that I've got to be in a happy mood to listen to them, because if you're in quite a somber mood, then it'll just send you, you know, into a spiral of depression, I think.
and as they've got further through their career, they've got more sort of abstract, yeah. And you feel like less they're trying to... reach out to an audience, you feel more as if they're just presenting their personal view of the world, or, you know, their personal vision, and less accessible, and I find it less interesting. Like, I think my last, up until about Amnesiac, I thought they were doing really well, and then they just started going into this weird sort of paranoid political world that,
yeah,
I found less interesting, to be honest. You know, I think Tommy was a very, very, very good lyricist, but, you know, when it's as transparent as kind of Hail to the Thief, where he's just kind of slagging off George Bush and claiming that he isn't, yeah, you can write better lyrics than that, you know. I think it's pinky, basically.
Although, saying that, Creep is still a great song.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny that they're the band that, for like 5 years, they were the band that did Creep. And
yep.
Now they're the band that, you know, one of the biggest rock bands in the world, and that's kind of forgotten. But, you know, if they were to play it at a gig, everyone would go absolutely
apeshit.
It'd be brilliant.
I know. I think the reason I liked it, that's what I grew up with, and when I was in a band, it was really one of the first songs I could play, so I just played it over and over and over again, you know.
Yeah, it's a great song. It is a great song. We went to this gig that they did in Oxford in 2001 Faith Pop concert, and they did an amazing set. It was like the first gig in Oxford for seven or eight years, I think. It was this amazing gig. Obviously, the band from Oxford, so it was a big homecoming gig.
Yeah.
And then right at the end of the set, it started to chuck it down with rain. I mean, actually, the sky opened. And they finished the set. The final encore was Creep. And it was like just the atmosphere was incredible. And it's pissing rain, and everyone was just going absolutely nuts. It's incredible. A really good.
Talking about gigs, what kind of gigs do you do?
So it's quite a good acoustic scene in London.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't play acoustic, I play an electric guitar, but it's an acoustic vibe, it's me and a guitar, so you know, it's a similar sort of thing. So there's lots of places around, so London's a really good place for that. And I think there are other places around the country that have good scenes as well, like places like Coventry, surprisingly, and Norwich, and yeah, I'm sure everywhere's got some kind of a scene, but with London, you've got a lot of clubs, which are basically, as you say, a room above a pub, you know, one night a week.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have open mic nights, you'll have, you know, acts doing longer sets, 30-minute sets or whatever.
Sure.
There's some really good stuff around, actually.
Excellent.
You have to search a bit, but I've heard some really, really good acts. They're not people who are going to be enormous, they're not going to be, you know, the next David Gray or Blunt or whatever, but on the other hand, they're doing some really nice stuff, and when you hear something that is really original and interesting and has got a really interesting mm-hmm. perspective, you know, you kind of want to keep it to yourself a bit. You don't want them to be, you know, selling millions of records.
See, that's unfortunate. That's exactly what I'm trying to do with this podcast. Trying to give artists, you know, the chance to get exposure. But I don't know what you mean. You know, it's when you find something, sometimes good music, you want to just keep it to yourself.
But there are people who will, you know, hopefully be successful and be able to make a living and they'll get a fan base and stuff.
Yeah.
But, these people, they're never going to become so mainstream that they'll, Sony are going to want to sign them.
True.
And that's fine, you know, because it's a very, very specific kind of artist that gets signed to a major label now, I think. I don't know how you can have that kind of broad appeal without kind of losing something.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a few good pop bands around, but, you know, it's just difficult not to compromise, I think.
It's true. So what about yourself? What's the big picture for you?
Improve as a musician, write better songs, and hopefully as I do that, more people will hear them. You know, I don't want to force music on people. I want them to find it and be excited by it and gradually build up.
I mean, you've actually done not bad for yourself as it is. I was looking in your biography, you've actually had quite a few magazines saying good things about you in appearances.
Yeah, there's quite a nice kind of Zoom community, and the web makes it, you know, that much more accessible for people.
Yeah.
But there's quite a lot of zines, and, you know, they'll review my stuff, and they're generally very nice about it, so.
So
but there's a lot of stuff out there, you know, it's difficult to get listeners because, you know, there's lots of people trying to do the same thing, so you just got to... my advice to musicians trying to do the same thing would just be have patience and keep on doing what you do, really.
Yeah, true enough. So, on the web, whereabouts can people find out about yourself and your music?
Well, if you go to thesoundoftheladies.com,
yep.
There's loads of stuff there. There's free downloads. You can listen to any of my music for free, and you can download some for free. And there's a free podcast. I put in a new track every month, and that gets uploaded to iTunes. And there's news, and there's also some videos that I did. I did a series of house concerts last year, and there's me playing and some of the musicians who I really like. And so there's some videos of those guys. And then on that webpage, basically, you've got links to Twitter, and Facebook, and MySpace. You can still use MySpace, and, you know, Buzz and all that kind of crap. So yeah, go to the sound of the ladies.
Excellent. Yeah, and on that site, I can see you've got five albums out already that they can download and enjoy, I suppose.
yeah, just head over there and you can pretty much get everything there, I think.
So, when you're not gigging and that, what do you like to do in your spare time?
I spend a lot of time writing music, actually. I was, like, doing various bits of my own music. So,
uh-huh.
You know, writing, recording, uploading, and doing kind of various bits of boring web admin. The kind of stuff that you need to do when you're an independent musician, just to keep things ticking over. I just got PlayStation 3. That was quite exciting.
Yes.
Like a week ago, because I decided I was working too hard. So I've been playing Fallout 3 for the last week.
Oh, it's a tremendous game.
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah. It's something strangely relaxing about wandering around a post-apocalyptic wasteland and shooting mutants in the head. I don't know why that should be. Maybe there's something wrong with me. But
yes, it does sound like a bit. have you? Have you looked at Mass Effect 2 yet? It's meant to be a great game.
I don't have a PC, so I've got a Mac. So I played the first Mass Effect, because I had it installed on my Mac, and I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good.
Yeah. No, it's just been released in PS3.
On PS3?
Yeah, it's just out.
Oh, have it? Yeah. Oh, I'll probably get it like this. Well, I've got a bunch of games. I've got a load of games when I got at the console. I got Bioshock 2 and Uncharted 2 came bundled, and I also got Fallout and Little Big and something else. I've got a bunch of games anyway.
Okay,
so
I'm
gonna work my way through those. That'll probably take
me about
6 months.
I've got a Nintendo Wii myself, but my friends got a PlayStation 3, and it's Uncharted 2. It's just like watching a movie. It's just a phenomenal game.
Yeah, it's really good fun. I've played a bit of all of them actually, just to sort of start off and see what they're like. Oh, that was the other one I played. I got Mirror's Edge. Have you played that?
Is that the one where you're running along rooftops and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of a parkour game. Yeah. Of all the games I played, that was the one that hooked me straight away. It requires quite a lot of skill. I'm not very good at video games. I don't actually play that much of them, you know. So anything which requires any skill, I'm a bit crap at. So that one, I keep on leaping off these 20-story buildings and just squishing myself on the concrete. So that's
I guess we can't really speak to you without mentioning Answer Me This podcast.
Yeah. So we stopped that off 3 years ago.
Uh-huh.
So it's with my girlfriend Helen and her friend Ollie, and they kind of came to me and said, would you mind helping us record the podcast, because they now got microphones and experience with recording and stuff. And I was like, well, okay, I'll do it once or twice, we'll see how it goes. And as time went on, almost immediately I started doing more stuff. I started kind of interacting on the podcast, and I started writing music and helping them record jingles and idents and stuff with it. So almost straight away, I was quite a sort of integral part of what was going on. I mean, the show is them, really. It's Helen and I talking about these questions they get from the listeners. But, I get to do something as well. So.
Yeah, it's a really good podcast. I'll put a link to it on my website. If anyone wants to listen to it, it's a really good laugh.
So the format is we take listener questions, and then the hosts, Helen and Ollie, they talk about the question. They try and answer the question, and they kind of chat around the subject, basically. It's been great. We've been going for 3 years, and we've got quite a nice base of listeners now who can send us some really good questions. So if you're interested, do tune in and send us some questions along. That'd be great.
I have to admit, I've sent in a question and I've had it answered.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
Which one was it?
I don't know if I should say it. It was the one of them. Why do nuns wear habits? Because I find them sexy. And then you answer that. I don't really, I just thought of the most random thing to ask you.
That's quite a good question. I can't remember what we said about that. What did we say?
I can't remember either. I think you explained why they'd habits and then said that I was maybe a little bit sick in the head,
that's fair, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so. Is there anything you want to talk about? Anything you want to add?
I'm going to be releasing a full-length album at some point this year. So,
sure. So before we finish off, do you have any tips for unsigned artists like yourself that could, people that are just starting out, how they could become, more successful?
I guess what I've always tried to focus on then is the quality of the music.
Yeah.
Like, you can be very, very I'm not that proactive about my self-publicity. I mean, I'm not terrible, but I could be better. And there are lots and lots of, I know people don't use MySpace anymore, but there used to be lots and lots of terrible MySpace bands that would just spam everyone.
Yeah.
And the music would be crap. There's no point drawing attention to what you're doing if what you're doing is boring.
Yeah.
So first of all, make sure that what you're doing is as good as it can be. And then, don't spam people. If you want, do contact people and tell them, what you're doing, and if you think it's going to be interesting to them. Mm-hmm. But people don't want to be spammed. They want to be told about stuff that they're interested in.
That's true.
Target it, If it's tell your friends, tell their friends. Don't just, grab random strangers who might like classical music and tell them about your indie band, because it's just going to piss them off.
Mm-hmm.
So, be self-publicized, but be polite, and it'll actually do you more favors if you're getting to people who actually might like your music than just some random person.
That's good advice, yeah. Thanks very much for coming on to the show, Martin. And what we'll do is we'll play your song, The Grand Tour.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Here we are at the end of show two. Thanks again for listening. I hope you liked some of the artists that I played. If you have any comments or suggestions, or you want to hear your music played in the show, then send your emails to rewindpodcast@googlemail.com or visit the site at www.therewindpodcast.com. And if you're downloading the show from iTunes, please leave a comment. Next week, we have an interview with the owner of Red Monster Records, who'll be telling us exactly what our record label does and what they look for when signing a band. We'll also have music from some more unsigned artists, like The Callout, Lions and Scissors, Brains for Breakfast, and Weather Star. And please visit the website to keep up to date with all the bands and the interviews. And if you can tell as many people as you can about the show, that would be great, as the more people who listen to the show, the more the bands get heard. So until next time, thanks for listening.